Has, and I'll have them introduce themselves in a second so you can know our names and our voices and who's speaking throughout this podcast. I'm here to talk to them about a paper that they published recently in Cognition and Emotion, and it's called Using Temporal Distancing to Regulate Emotion in Adolescence, Modulation by Reactive Aggression. Thank you so much for joining me, and congratulations on your paper. Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers.
Kat and I are drinking Camden Pale Ales, and Saz is having a raspberry lemonade. So will you say your names so that we know the voices and the names together?
So I'm Kat.
And I'm Saz.
And this paper was published with Saz as the first author, Leah Somerville as the second, and Kat Sebastian as the...
Well, actually, Leah and I are senior authors.
You're both senior authors. Yes. Okay. I'm just going to launch into my regular questions, and I start with, what was your research question?
Most of the research on emotion regulation tends to be on reappraisal, which is quite a general emotion regulation strategy, but we found that there's several strategies within reappraisal that haven't really been investigated previously.
Okay, can I stop you right there?
Yeah.
And just to unpack things, I know they're just words that we should know, but maybe we don't. When you say emotion regulation, can you say what it is?
Yes, it's how we cope and deal with certain situations that we may find stressful.
So instead of something stressing me out and me going, I can't handle it, I have to regulate that so I don't run around like a toddler.
Yeah, and you can use certain strategies to do that.
I have a toddler, so I know what that's like.
She's doing that. Saz, you mentioned about reappraisals, and that's a strategy we deal with. What exactly? I mean, I guess I should know what that means, too.
So reappraisal is when we reinterpret a stressful situation in a way that makes ourselves feel better about it. So an example would be if you see someone crying, you might change that to think, oh, they're crying tears of joy rather than tears of sadness. The particular strategy that we were looking at was temporal distancing. So this is when we put things into a bigger perspective. So a stressful situation that happens right now, if we think of it in the distant future, sort of think of it 5 years down the line, what you're doing. So you might, you know, be happier or have like a better lifestyle. So it just puts things in perspective. So you think, okay, I'm upset right now, but I won't feel like this 5 years down the line.
Okay, that's great background. Thank you. And so the research question had to do with
that particular strategy.
Exactly.
Yeah. So temporal distancing and whether our ability to use it effectively varies throughout developments from adolescence up to adulthood.
And what did you predict?
That was what was quite interesting about this study, because it didn't work out quite as we anticipated, which is often the... Yes, exactly. We had originally thought that adolescents would still be developing this ability. They're sort of insensitive to the future, they're stuck in the here and now. There's previous research that shows that teenagers are still developing the ability to delay gratification. So we thought that might be related to the development of the ability to regulate emotion using this sort of temporal distancing, mental time travel sort of strategy. We tested individuals aged 12 all the way up to 22, so we got the whole range of adolescents in there, and we really predicted that we'd see development during that age range in the ability to regulate emotion, reduce our distress using temporal distancing. But that's actually not what we found.
Okay, hold on before you get there. How did you test it?
We basically developed a range of everyday stressful scenarios that anyone of any age could go through. So, for example, you fail an important exam, or you have a serious argument with your best friend.
I suppose they were a bit aimed towards teenagers.
I mean, possibly more. Yeah, we asked them to either read the scenario and react naturally to it. So they had to basically rate how distressed they were, and also how sort of anxious and stressed they were on a scale.
When they read the scenario.
When they read it, yeah.
That I'm in a fight with my best friend.
Yeah, how do you feel kind of thing. So either they rate how they reacted naturally to it, or thinking and projecting into the distant future or the near future. So sort of projecting into like however far in time they want to, say 1 year, 5 years.
It was totally up to them.
It was totally, yeah. We had a scale that was 1 to 9 from like tonight up till 10 years, and it was up to them how far into the future they wanted to project.
And that was deliberate so that we could actually look at individual preferences and how far they spontaneously projected themselves, which turned out to be quite interesting as well.
in the title you have modulation by reactive aggression. Okay. What is reactive aggression, so, and how do you measure
it? So reactive aggression is basically aggression in response to a threat or provocation. And this type of aggression tends to peak in adolescence. Also, reactive aggression tends to be associated with poor emotion regulation. So those that are more reactively aggressive tend not to be able to control their anger and distress that well. So we wanted to see if we see the same pattern for temporal distancing as well.
And how do you measure it?
Just by a questionnaire.
Okay, you just ask them how aggressive you get to.
Yeah, so it's a standardised questionnaire.
Okay, yeah.
Looking at both reactive aggression, which is, as Saz explained, is aggression in the heat of the moment, and also proactive aggression, which is more pre-planned aggression to get what you want.
Yeah.
So we had specific hypotheses that it would be reactive aggression that would be associated with the poor emotion regulation, but not proactive.
Okay. Will you tell us what you found?
Overall, we found that thinking of the distant future and projecting yourself into the distant future was associated with being able to reduce distress effectively.
Across the
age range, participants as young as 12 were able to use the strategy just as well as those that were 22. Yeah, it kind of was in contrast to what we would predict in terms of adolescents being poorer at regulating their emotions. And we also found that those that were more reactively aggressive were less able to use the strategy effectively. So actually, even when they projected into the future, they didn't necessarily reduce their distress that well.
Really?
Yes.
So that prediction helped.
Yes. Yeah. So there were a couple of things also that were interesting relating to the amount of time that people projected into the future. So firstly, projecting into the distant future was more effective than just projecting into the near future. And that's important because it could just be that when we think about the future in any terms, that's distracting us from our emotion. So it could just simply be a very boring explanation that it's simply, you know, the cognitive processes involved in thinking about the future distract us from whatever's stressing us out. So it was good for us to see that actually the distance mattered. So the further you projected yourself into the future, the better.
Yeah.
So we had a near versus distant condition, and distant was more effective. But also what we found was that when we were looking at the distant condition on its own, there was a relationship between emotion regulation success and distance projected. So we asked people to spontaneously distance and choose their amount of time projected, and the amount of time that they spontaneously chose was associated with success.
So. Wow. So the further out you project, the better you are regulating your emotions.
Yes. And we also found that those higher in reactive aggression showed a trend towards projecting themselves less far into the future. So that was a tantalizing, interesting thing to follow up for future studies.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Could be a mechanism for explaining reactive aggressive behavior, for example. You know, maybe people are sort of stuck in the present moment, and that makes it difficult for them to disengage from emotions that lead to aggressive behavior.
How do you know that they actually projected themselves?
In this line of research, demand characteristics are a big problem. So it could just be that people are saying that they feel better because they know that they're supposed to feel better in future compared to near. I think there's a couple of things that speak to that. Firstly, we had both near future and distant future conditions, and it's not necessarily obvious to the layperson that there should be a difference.
That's a good
there.
Point.
Also then, looking at the distant condition alone, the fact that they're spontaneous distancing correlated with a distress reduction also suggests that they probably weren't deliberately doing that.
Can I ask you something personal? You don't have to answer.
Oh, right. We've had a few drinks now.
Do you ever try this as a strategy? Or have you used it before?
I
do you now try it?
I use this all the time.
So, have you in the past?
Yeah. So whenever I have an exam or something, I always sort of think of myself at the end of the exam and sort of how good I feel afterwards.
This is a secret to Saz's success in life.
Amazing emotion control
and regulation. Well, I don't know about
Saz is the calm one.
Are you?
I'm in the lab.
My PhD supervisor said to me once, something embarrassing happened to me. And I was horrified, of course, and then I told him about it. He said, don't worry, in no time something more embarrassing will happen to you. So I guess in a way he was suggesting that there was a temporal distance.
Get things in perspective. My postdoc boss said something very similar to me when I was stressing out about something to do with the data.
Really?
And actually my mum had previously said that to me. I remember when I was studying for my A-level, she was like, it can't be that what happens on a single day is really going to be, you know, the be all and end all for your entire life.
So here's the way looking out, in the grand scheme of things.
I think it's worth thinking about, though, how it may not be effective for all types of stress. You know, if something really is long term and likely to last a really long time, it could actually be counterproductive.
Yeah.
There's many different strategies that people can bring to bear. And what's quite nice, I think, about this study, if I do say so myself, is that we're trying to sort of narrow in on a particular strategy, whereas a lot of the emotion regulation research has been quite broad, allowing people to choose their own strategy.
Speaking of future, what are your future plans? Are you going to continue to narrow in on emotion regulation?
I think it'll be good. I mean, we've done a neural study on this, an fMRI study, to see whether the neural activation associated with temporal distancing is similar to more the general emotion regulation strategies, and we have found some evidence of that, but I think it would be good to sort of narrow in on it and also look at it developmentally as well, because yes, the behavioural results seem that there are no differences across age, but actually the neural results might show different patterns, so it would be interesting to look at that as well.
Another interesting avenue is, what are the active ingredients in this? You know, does it help if you mentally visualise the future versus just rationalising to yourself, oh, it won't matter in a few weeks' time? Does it matter if you are bad at delaying gratification, for example? So I think there's a lot of ways that we can try and unpack this to get at the mechanisms for why it's a successful emotion regulation strategy.
Well, it's super cool, and it was a fun read. I recommend it for everybody.
Congratulations, Laura.
Again. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cheers.